cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to our business masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Last week, we had Cynthia Schumann from USB Ed talking to us about integrity and leading by example. In this first hour of our business skills conversation, which has been presented in association with USB Ed, we're going to be talking about how to identify and retain high-value customers. With me in studio is no stranger to the studio, Belinda Wagner. She's a faculty member at USB Ed. She's also a specialist in marketing as a facilitator, lecturer, and mentor. She has a passion for all spheres of marketing, growth, and development of people in order to assist them with their growth journey. Welcome to the studio. Thanks, Belinda. Great to have you here. So, the whole world of identifying and retaining high-value customers and how we go about that. Perhaps let me start with a quote or some research that I found that said that increasing customer retention rates by 3% increases profits by somewhere between, well, in the financial services industry, it's mooted as being 25%, and it could go as high as 95% in other industries just by increasing your customer retention by that 5%. Is that a valid statement, first of all? I guess, seeing that it was Bain and Company who made the statement, I guess we can say it is valid. But, I mean, is that a valid statement in the South African context, Belinda? What's your experience there?
I would definitely say yes. Just looking at how we retain customers in South Africa, it's really, really about relationships. And the more you're able to retain customers for a longer period of time, you spend less trying to gain more customers. So spend less funding on trying to get the customers to come and buy from you. So less on marketing, less on sales, less on just driving the business, but just keeping those existing customers happy. Absolutely. And once a customer has purchased from you, they typically purchase again, and what they buy from you increases. So I 100% agree with that statement.
So I'm hearing two elements there. I'm hearing the elements of, let's call it cost of acquiring new clients.
Absolutely.
Is obviously, I mean, it's a new client that just returned to you, so limited there. You may want to do something around keeping them happy. And then the next point there was also the kind of construct of share of wallet increases as repeat purchases occur over time. And I guess that is a function of, I've tried you, you know, I bought item A. Now I see you also do items B, C, and D, which I need in my basket. So I'll buy all three from you. And add those to item A. And off we go. We've got a full basket of purchases. So I guess that does make a lot of sense. Mm. I mean, what would your advice be to customers or to listeners out there in terms of how they drive up that customer retention rate, though? I mean, what drives that customer retention, particularly in the high value customer space? I mean, what are the key things that are making that happen?
I think something I've mentioned on one of the previous shows, it's really around customer services. It's mm-hmm. about getting it right every single time. So the experience that your customer has, it's the same experience, but delivering to that experience on a consistent manner. Richard Branson talks about, the detail. It's all about the detail and getting the detail correct. I definitely agree. When you shop at Woolies, for example, that experience that you have should be consistent. And someone like Woolworths does that all the time. You go into the store, whether you go into the store in KZN or up in Joburg, it makes no difference. That experience is the same. Mm. So that it brings customers back each time, knowing that they're going to receive the same service that they got before, and the quality is the same. Mm. And I think that's really important. Consistently delivering high service to those customers.
Mm. Now, I mean, there is a model that I've looked at, which talks about growing and retaining high value clients, and one of the comments they make is, you have to make it easy for customers to do business with you. And I often wonder about that, and I think about, you know, how easy is it to do business with my business? And you know, if I think of some of the interaction points, I recently, for my sins, had to go through a cell phone upgrade. And I was told, and I won't embarrass the brand by putting their name out there, but I was told that in order to do this, I needed to provide them with a utility bill to a proof of address. You know, they're going to Rika, you know, the client. Now, you and I both know that, and we've been used to this FICA thing for a long time, we know what documents are acceptable for proof of address. Except these guys turned around and said, no, we're not prepared to take a bank statement from you. It has to be a water and lights account or a rates and taxes account. Now, I found that quite irritating because, A, my water and lights account and my rates account are actually not in my personal name, so this becomes a challenge. I've then got to sort that out. It's in my wife's name. But more irritatingly is I have a bank statement that's got my address on, that's got my physical address on, and it's in my name, and it's on my phone, and I can print it, and you've got it. So now they're making my life difficult, and the worst part was I'd actually traveled a distance. I did this while I was on holiday, so I was down in KZN. I traveled an hour to a shopping center and then walked into a store to do an upgrade, and here I sit. Mm. And I look at this and I go, wow, okay, so you're really trying to make it almost difficult for me to do business with you. And then, of course, the consultant that I needed wasn't available, and it was a drama. And eventually the best they could do was they said to me, oh, we'll take your name and we'll reserve. They had the phones that I wanted, and in fact it was my phone that I was upgrading and my wife's phone that I was doing an upgrade on simultaneously. So they took my name, they reserved phones for me. I left their store, was driving back to where we were staying, and I realized on my way I was passing another shopping center. Stopped in there, went into a store. They had the models that I needed. I said to them, what do you need for the FICA thing? Oh, no, we'll take the bank statement, no problem. I did the entire upgrade, sorted, done, and dusted. It is now 12 days since then, and I still have not received a call from that first store to confirm I can come in and do the upgrade with them. They've lost my business, clearly, but they don't even call to say, we're ready to help you. Mm. I mean, so yeah, you know, you talk about making it easy. Well, there's a classic example of, and the reality, I'm actually going to write to the people who own that store because I think they need to know what's going on in their store. And it's a big brand, and it's a profile store in northern part of KZN. You can figure out where I'm talking about. You know, and I look at this and I go, well, I don't know about you, but I don't think they can afford to have bad customer experiences and making things complicated, which they should be making simple. Mm. The other thing that was pointed out in this model that I looked at is they said, if you want to grow and retain clients, you've got to offer them something that's bespoke, something that's
customized for their needs.
Talk to me about, because we've all grown up in the world of mass production and everything's the same. You know, you can have a Model T Ford as long as it's black. So talk to us about that.
No, absolutely. Just looking at how we buy today, I don't want just anything. I want something that's going to be right for Belinda. I want something that's going to suit my particular needs. And I think that's it. It's been able to create solutions for your customers for their particular needs, to understand their particular challenges and give them what they want. And I think that customization and how you speak about the bespoke is this for me or is this just for anyone? And if you really understand and you want to retain your customers and you want to keep them for a long period of time, you will need to really get a clear understanding of what your customers are trying to achieve in their business. What are their challenges? What are their customers' challenges? And help them achieve those challenges. And often you cannot just, you know, give them the mass production because that doesn't work anymore. Business has become so competitive that if we just try and sell them what we have in our closet, you'll typically find they're going to go to someone who will make the effort to create something that's customized for their needs. So absolutely spot on. And I think it talks very much to something I spoke about previously, is around partnership. Hmm. About partnering with your customer so that you really give them what they need for their particular needs. And in your case, with the cell phone example, that's what you had. So let's, Mr. Customer, how do we work with you to create what you need for you for this particular, and this is your particular situation?
Yeah. I'm also hearing you're going to the point of, you know, you've got to know your customer to be able to offer that bespoke solution. So knowing your customer and knowing their needs is critical. Mm. And I think often one of the challenges I see around in the world today is we don't take enough time to listen to customers and understand what they're really looking for.
Mm.
Difficult to do that if you're so busy focusing internally to listen externally, so to speak.
Absolutely. I think it also goes back to, you know, you no longer have a customer on your database, just a database of customers. It's about understanding the customer in detail and understanding really what is it that they want. So you don't have the luxury of just sending out mass communications, of sending out or selling something that's just going to service a whole host of people. Obviously, there are certain goods that do that, but I think we've moved away from that. You really have to understand your customer really well, and it does create a lot more work for organizations. It takes a lot more time, and guess what? You have to invest more than you have before. So, however, that will create the profits that you're looking for in the long term if you put in that effort and the investment in prior to the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember, we're talking about retaining that high-value customer and making sure that they're with you for a long period of time. Okay, you've spoken about excellent customer service, and I think that is a cornerstone of any customer retention environment and making sure you know who you're servicing.
Mm-hmm.
The other element that they spoke of in this model that I found rather interesting was they made the statement to say, you should offer quality, not bargains.
Mm.
And there was a statement by somebody who said, we found that if users signed up at a full price, they are more likely to remain loyal than users who sign up with a discount.
Mm.
Now, I found that an interesting comment, because I think everybody, and I think South Africans, we are known as being discount people and bargain hunters.
Mm.
And I found that quite interesting that, you know, people who sign up for the right reasons, not because it was a bargain.
Mm.
You know, and I'm taken back to, you know, somebody once saying, oh, this is 50% off, I've got to have this. And you say, well, why? I say, well, it's 50% off. Said, yeah, but it's going to cost you 50%. And if you don't need it, it's costing you 50% more than what you need to spend.
Mm.
And they look at you and they go, yeah, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure we've all gotten, particularly after Christmas, all of the litany of gifts that are never used, you know, and you hear lots of people talking about the, you know, the stuff that's barely opened and then, you know, thrown away the next in 6 months' time. So, yeah, offering quality, not bargains. I mean, from a price, that's a pricing conversation per se.
Absolutely. However, I think, again, if you look at during tough economical times, the assumption is that we all go for bargains. Actually not. People are more brand loyal during tough economical times because they know they can rely on that quality of that good or that service. So I will rather buy that one pair of sneakers or whatever and make sure that those last, because I know and I can trust the quality. So often when we talk bargain, we wonder what's wrong with this. So you'll find that people are prepared to pay for the quality because they know it's going to last. They know that they can count on that, and that talks to that whole thing around credibility and delivering consistently all the time. So I'll pay for it because I know I'm not going to burn my fingers. And even though as South Africans we all love a good bargain, I think when it comes down to the crunch and those important decisions, those important purchases, those high value purchases, we'll spend that little bit extra because we know that we're going to get what's been promised. And I think that's what's important. So quality and the promise is really important. So I'll pay that big bit of extra bit because I know I'm going to get what you've promised.
Mm. And then, obviously, very important for you as a business, make sure you deliver on that quality product.
Consistently.
And that promise. Because if you don't, your brand is as good as dead.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, the final point and goes to that is this whole question of maintaining your credibility as a brand, I guess, in terms of what you're doing. And if you don't maintain your credibility, your ability to retain that high-value client actually falls flat.
Mm.
One thing that's very topical right now is our dear friends at Ford and the challenge that they're having with some of their vehicles. And, you know, I look at something like that and I think, so what do you do in a scenario like that where you've got a product problem? And I mean, we can use them as an example. It's in the public domain. You know, they've got a product problem. They definitely have a product problem. It's obvious that there's a product problem. What do they do? How do they handle it? How do they maintain that credibility? Because people who are buying Fords are now sitting there watching. Mm. What would you do in this scenario?
It goes back to honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And being continuously honest with your client. Everybody makes mistakes. All businesses have a certain period they go through where things just don't go as planned. But being honest and being open and communicating to your customer consistently about what's happened, how it's happened, when it's happened, I think that's really, really key. It's the honesty. That's how you build credibility. That's how you build trust is, okay, so this went wrong, but guess what? We've managed to you know, remedied in a certain manner. And I think if you look at many organizations that have, where they have messed up on stuff, where they've been honest, the customer says, okay, we can forgive this. We can understand why, because we know that this organization has been honest. I think that for me is really important in terms of the credibility and building the brand, because it's really hard to build a brand when there's dishonesty. After a situation like that.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the reality is there's also an element of, let me call it speed, in being honest.
And so, communicating.
Yeah. So it doesn't help that you take 2 weeks to be honest. If there's a problem, say there's a problem and be factual about it. And I mean, they have done some element of bring your car in, bring your, what's it, cougar in for a checkup or whatever. I mean, they should be going, if you're driving a cougar, get to your nearest, you know, nearest station and get it checked out.
Yeah.
You know, people shouldn't be, I mean, I saw one article of somebody who made a choice not to take the vehicle in, but rather go on holiday. And I was like, you know, and then they have a burnout and there's a problem.
Mm.
And you kind of look at this and you say, if the nature of that honesty and that recall had been far more severe, obviously Ford would not like to have that, not like to emphasize the problem that they've got. But the reality is if they were being honest about the severity, they should be saying, you shouldn't be driving this vehicle almost. You should be having it towed to the shop.
Absolutely.
Maybe not that extreme, but it's almost at that level.
Yeah. And not be afraid to be that honest, because should something happen, there's far more damage to the brand than having an honest communication with your clients to say we really value your lives and value your commitment to us. So rather be safe than sorry. So 100% communications, and then the speed is 100% in terms of communicating.
So I mean, it brings me to the statement that Olivia Ruello made. She said, when it comes to attracting high-value customers, it's about building trust and credibility.
Mm.
And I mean, I guess at the end of the day, without trust and credibility in your brand, you're basically nowhere. You're dead. Mm. You're absolutely dead. Now, I mean, how do you kind of link that with a measurement of your brand and knowing whether you've actually, made it as a brand? Is your brand rock solid in terms of trust, credibility. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if I was to say now, has Ford got a rock solid brand? The answer would be absolutely not. The credibility of their brand is currently under threat. Mm. How they choose to respond to it will change the long term outcome there. How do you go about making sure that brand moves into, let's call it, rock solid territory and stays there, remaining relevant and strong?
I think it's a culmination of what we've said already. So building that trust, mm-hmm. it's about the honesty, it's about delivering on time every time. It's about that partnership thing. It's about how do you build your brand with your customer. So when your customer thinks your brand or considers your brand, they automatically view it as a brand that is credible. It's a brand that will deliver to their needs. So I don't think it's one particular thing. I think it's a culmination of, over time, continuously working on your brand, working on ensuring that you're delivering to the customer's needs. It's also about, during those tough times, that you're not just trying to sell to the customer so that for your benefit, so that you ensure that you achieve your objectives. It's about really saying, Mr. Customer, I know that right now, for example, so all Ford suppliers, they should be supporting Ford. They should be assisting and helping them get their credibility back. That's what it's about. It's about really working hard to help your customer achieve their long-term objectives for their clients ultimately. Yeah. So I don't think it's one particular element. I think it's a multiple or a multitude of elements that help deliver to building a strong, credible brand.
Mm, okay. So I just want to go back and just reiterate that model around how to build that we're suggesting, to build that high-value customer relationship that helps you and that you can retain over time. The concepts of making it easy, offering some bespoke solution, excellent customer service, and you focused heavily on that, offering good quality, not just bargains, and making sure that you maintain your credibility. Mm. Now, I mean, fundamentally, within the South African context, is it easy to do this? Is it easier in the South African context with the South African consumer, or more difficult than our international partner, practice? I mean, is the South African consumer a little more demanding in the space, or less demanding in your experience?
I think, I wouldn't be able to say from an international perspective, but from a South African perspective, I think because we have access to more products and services than we've ever had before, I think we have become more demanding. I think because the choice has grown, we can buy things online. Mm. We have access to information about products and services way more than we've had before. So I think South Africans have become more particular, and I think it's harder for organizations to deliver to those needs because we now don't have five or six vehicles to choose from. We have hundreds. So building and maintaining that credibility and building that brand definitely has become far more tough. And I think South African consumers as a whole, we've become more particular. And guess what? We want you to deliver. Time is of essence, as well as from financial perspective. We don't have as much disposable income as we've had before. I want to make sure, am I getting what I need from my current spend? And are you delivering to that? Because guess what? Exactly like you did with your cell phone example, you just go somewhere else. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think we've got far more customer choice now than we've ever had before. And that keeps companies on their toes, and that retention of that high-value client is certainly something that they need to focus on. And just as a reminder, I mean, remember that a 5% improvement in the customer retention rate, improvement in profitability anywhere between 25 and 95%.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it makes total sense to be focusing on this. Belinda, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your insights.
Thank you, Richard.
Great as always to have you in studio. We're going to get a little bit more practical with our SME development conversation. Our guest will be Liesel van Arkel, the Managing Director of WorldsView Academy. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.